Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on 97.7 WVFF. Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, where we take you through the Bible slowly, methodically, show you things you've never seen before. You've been there hundreds of times. You know, you can read it once, you can read it twice, you can read it 57 times, and then God will give you a spiritual meaning, not just what's there in black and white. One word can change the whole meaning of all of it. You catch up with this on WVFFradio.com, starting with episode 1. You'll find out there were two accounts of creation. God created man and woman the 6th day, rested on the 7th day, and then sometime later said, there's no man to tend my garden. His holy temple was a garden at that time. So he created the Adamic line. The priest line was never supposed to procreate. The other ones, he said, replenish the earth. Created them male and female, created them, said, replenish the earth. What does replenish mean? It means to put back, because there were people here before. You go to Jeremiah, the beginning of the Bible, you'll find out that God had already flooded the earth, tore down the cities, killed everyone, and put out the sun. And the earth was void and without form. You turn from there to Genesis, says the earth was void and without form. God said, let there be light, for at least a second time. You know, Cain wasn't Adam's son. There were two children in Eve's womb with two different fathers. Oh my gosh, it's blasphemy. No, it's right here in black and white. Right here in this Bible. I'm just not ashamed to say it. Religion adopted a certain scenario, a certain way it's all supposed to be said. God hates religion. Religion said, this is the way we're going to say it. This is what we're going to teach in our seminaries. This is what we're going to tell our preachers to preach. But if you get in here yourself and you look at it, it's so thorough and it's so explained. Every aspect of life can be explained in this book. It's nothing God has left out. All you have to do is search it. And don't be afraid to go against the mainstream, because the mainstream's not always right.
It's the broad road.
Yes. That's what they've chosen to teach, contrary to God's word. This is an amazing book. Just little phrases. That's why we call this Between the Lines, you know? After Abel died, was killed by Cain, the Bible says, and Adam had another son, and this one was in his likeness. Why in the world would it say that? Because if you go back and you study, Cain wasn't his. Ever wonder why God said to Eve in the garden after they sinned, there'll be enmity between your seed, talking to the serpent, and her seed? Where does his seed come from? Because it was more than just an apple. There was seduction. And Eve enjoyed it, and she took it to her husband, seduced him. Two children in the womb. It's right there. Go to episode 1. It's not blasphemous. It's exactly what this Bible says. I'm not ashamed to say it. And I tell you what, if you look at it, you read it thoroughly, science and this Bible go hand in hand. There was a world before this one. God put out the light, and he left it void and without form. And he said, I know when my anger subsides, I will start again. We don't know how many eons passed. That's why, yes, the earth is millions of years old. But the Adamic line has only been here for, say, 9,000 years, roughly. It all fits together perfectly. Yeah, there were dinosaurs, and there were men here during that time, the age of the first world, if not a world before that. There's only evidence in this Bible of two worlds. Could be more. So, the Adamic line was never supposed to procreate. That was God's priest. Adam and Eve were going to live in that garden and take care of it forever. And then sin came in. Seduction came in. So he sent them out. His perfect line. Now, he wanted to create redemption for his perfect line. He sent them out and knew one day he would bring redemption, because all he could do, he sacrificed an animal. Because when you sin, he said, you must die. Or something must die. Innocent blood must be shed to cover your sins. Not take them away, cover them. So he sacrificed an animal. And he put skins on their nakedness, a sign of covering. He sent them out of the garden at that time to procreate, because he knew one day he would bring the Messiah to cover their sins forever. So it goes on and on. His chosen people, his chosen line. But there were others out there. But they couldn't follow his instructions. The first covenant he gave to Abraham. Abraham, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. The spiritual man following God, subjecting the flesh to an earthly process just to show that you belong to God. They couldn't do it. Everything was legal for them under that covenant. Just like Paul said, in Christ, all things are legal for the Christian. Not all things are good for the Christian. And if the Christian follows Christ with all his heart, he'll know the difference. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. But they couldn't do it. They come out of Egypt. They proved to God they couldn't do it. It's too easy. It's too easy, Father. We can't do it. So he put the law into effect. A burdensome, binding, just volumes of things. You could become sinful just from touching a doorknob that someone else had touched. Sitting on a sofa where an unclean woman had sat during her period, you know. How often does that happen in public spaces? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're under the law, you're unclean. Still to this day. You could grasp a handful of soil that had a dead insect in it. You're unclean. You're sinful. Oh, those are just them little tiny sins. No, a sin is a sin. Under the law is sin. The minutest sin will keep you separate from God, as well as murder. The greatest sins, murder and worshiping other gods. The most immiscule sin equal to the greatest sin. The law does not give. That's why Christ came back to put it back to the first covenant, which was not the Ten Commandments. I don't care what your pastor told you, he didn't know. He's just saying what he was taught. You got to get in here and read this for yourself. So the children of Israel came out of Egypt. They proved to God they couldn't follow his original covenant, so he laid the law on them. Horrible bondage. Because one day, he knows they will cry out to be free of it. That's what the Messiah came, to fulfill the law. Not to do away with it. Because if you don't accept him, you're still under it. Everyone born into this world will die under the law unless they accept Christ. And if you've accepted Christ and you hang on to the law, the Bible says it's of no avail. What he did was not good enough. You're telling the Messiah, you're telling Jesus Christ, his perfect sacrifice and the torture that he endured just wasn't enough. You got to keep Sunday holy so your neighbors can see you. God forbid they ask you to help them push their car down the street on Sunday. You'll do it on Saturday, not Sunday. Got news for you. Saturday's a Sabbath, Christian, not Sunday. You might as well go help your neighbor, because Jesus said, if you love the Lord thy God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, you have done all of the commandments under the law. You need to figure out what's right. It's all about the heart. God wants your heart. He doesn't want your money. He wants your heart, because if he has your heart, he has your mind, and he has your time. So we came out, Moses led them, although it was a horrible, horrible burden for him. He cried out to God many times, why, God, did you put these people into my control? They brought them out. He couldn't go in because in his weariness, he failed God. God said, speak to the rock. And he got angry and hit the rock and said, I give you water. Just a minute, just messed up. But under the law, that's all you have to do. God says, okay, you did this, so you can. I'll take you up to the mountain, you can look over and see, but you're not going in. I don't know if Moses says yay or nay, or yeah, buddy, I'm out of here. Yeah. I'm sure he didn't care either way. But he turns it over to Joshua, who was not quite the shepherd that Moses was. Moses dealt with things. When a cancer came in the camp, Moses dealt with it. Called down fire from heaven. In the situation with Korah, the earth opened up and men went to hell alive. You ever been told that in church? There were some that went to hell alive. Joshua took over. Moses, Joshua, and God told the people, when we go in, wipe the countryside clean. Don't leave any of them. If you do, you're cursed. If you remove them, you will have the blessings of God. So as soon as they come in, three tribes, they leave some of the inhabitants. And the cursings begin immediately. Moses would have dealt with it, would have called down fire from heaven or something. He would have dealt with it. Joshua, not quite the leader. He says, okay, you let them stay, so just don't mingle with them. Don't adopt their ways. Don't give your sons to their daughters. Don't take their daughters for your sons. And do not worship their gods. And maybe they'll just die out and this cancer will go away. Well, as soon as Joshua died, they did whatever they wanted. They did exactly what he said not to do. Thus comes the age of the judge. Not the shepherd, the judge. And the judge was not a shepherd because these people had dispersed over a wide territory now. The shepherd had the entire congregation of what is probably 3 to 4 million people at this time in one basic location. I know it's a large location, but they weren't spread over hundreds of miles like they are now. The judge is not such a shepherd. He is more of a champion of Israel. When there's a problem, he will go there and fix it. And we've seen so far, the judges do what God says. They go and they tell, okay, Judah, go in and take this area. God says, I will give it to you. And all we see is doubt from these Israelis. Doubt, doubt, doubt. Judah says, oh, that's cool, but let me take my brother and his soldiers with me. Doubt. And through all of this doubt, God raises up women to shame them. First, the judge Deborah. Deborah goes, says, go and take this area. God says, I'll give it to you. What does he say? What does the captain of that tribe says? He says, I'll go only if you go with me, Deborah.
That's Barak. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go only if you go with me. Uh-huh. Doubt. And she says, I'll go, but you will get no honor out of any of it because you've asked a woman to go with you. And then the last king that was alive, he escaped into a town, and one of the Israelite women took him in her tent and hit him and drove a tent nail through his head because God would not let that man have any glory because he did not trust in God. He doubted, and he needed a woman to go with him. Nothing wrong with women, but at the time they were property. The masculinity in Israel is gone. The leadership in Israel is gone. Every time they get a new judge, things gets fixed for a little while, normally a generation. We've seen two generations on one of the judges. And as soon as the judge dies, the opening verse that comes next is, and Israel sinned in the eyes of God. As soon as the judge dies, they go back to their old ways because a generation has passed. 40 years, they'll have rest after the judge comes and fixes things. And that generation fails to teach the next generation why they have rest and who God is and to follow God's statutes and what to do to be blessed. Just like America has done right now, this generation of heathens that we have getting ready to take over the place. Good luck, America. Chapter 10, Book of Judges. And after Abimelech, they arose to defend Israel, Tola, the son of Pua, son of Dodo, a man of Issachar. And he dwelt in Shemir in Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years, and he died, was buried in Shemir. And after him arose Jerir, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. He had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts. They had 30 cities, which were called Habajar, unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. Jerir died and was buried in Canaan. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Imagine that, right after the judge died. And served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon, the gods of Moab and the gods of the children of Ammon and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served not him. Serving the Almighty God is a spiritual thing. Serving these gods is a fleshly thing. These gods are into fleshly behavior and fleshly, give me anything that I can have. Just absolute party time.
Debauchery.
Debauchery.
Yes, sir.
Anything that feels good.
Yes, sir.
You know, if you've ever drawn close to the Almighty God, the spirit inside you becomes so happy. You get so filled with joy that nothing can stop that. These here, they wanted what they could have for the moment. That's what these gods with a little G offer, what you can have for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Orgies and lust and all of the joys of the flesh.
The belief that you only live once.
Yes. Yeah. Go for it.
Yeah.
You only go around once. Nike.
Yeah.
Just do it. Just do it. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And he sold them. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel, 18 years, all the children of Israel that were on the other side Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore depressed and distressed. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord. The other half, remember we always talk about this like it is in America right now?
Mm-hmm.
It's about half believe in God and cry out to God. The other half don't even think there is a God. They can be gods themselves. Depend on what pronoun they want this week.
Yes, yes.
Children of Israel cried unto the Lord. That's about half of them. I guarantee half of them weren't. But God never leaves the half that wants him. He never leaves them wanting. They might have to go through some trials and tribulations, but he never ignores his children, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam. And if you remember some of the past episodes, God said, if these things begin to happen in your camp, serving other gods, trespassing against my laws, it's not even so much as the ones that are doing it. If you see it and you know what's going on and you do nothing about it, you're as guilty as they are.
You better at least report it.
Yes. So that is why the half that still follow after God are in the same situation as those that are actually not following God. Because they chose. If they had risen up and said, we will not allow this in our land, God would have given them the strength and the means to put it down.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said unto children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines, the Zidonians also, and the Amalekites, Moabites, did oppress you, and ye cried to me, I delivered you out of their hand. Ye have forsaken me and served other gods, wherefore I will deliver you no more. Oh, is God once again done, Jonathan?
That's a spooky, because sometimes the answer is no.
Where is Moses to fall down on his face and
right.
beg God to change his mind like he did so many times?
Yeah, the closest they've got right now is Jotham.
Yeah. Go and cry unto other gods, which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. The children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. Punish us in any way that you want, but please deliver us. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. How many times I've heard a preacher say, God never changes his mind. It's not true.
Right. Absolutely. Then there would be no such thing as redemption.
Yes, absolutely. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to save you anymore. Then in their anguish, they put away the other gods and began to serve him. Just like it was when he destroyed the first world with a flood. He says, I know one day my anger will subside and I will start again. And his soul was grieved. You ever think about that? God's soul?
That's deep. Yeah.
Was grieved for the misery of Israel. Then the children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead. And the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpeth. The people and princes of Gilead said one to another, what man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Chapter 11, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. Now Jepheth, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot. Imagine that. God uses all. It doesn't matter who your parents are. He's no respecter of persons. He's the respecter of the heart.
Yep.
You can come from a back alley in the worst city in the world, the worst parents in the world, crack addicts and prostitutes. If your heart aligns with God, he'll use you for whatever purpose he chooses. Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jepheth and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. And Jepheth fled from his brethren. See, he was the outcast.
It sounds like a Joseph story.
Yeah, absolutely. God often goes to the least of all of them. Picks the least among them when he picked David. Jepheth fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men unto Jepheth. This vain means worthless, vagabonds, and went out with him. And it came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jepheth out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jepheth, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. Jepheth had a stature about him. They knew his heart was right.
Mm-hmm.
It says there in chapter 11, Jepheth the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor. That doesn't mean so much as a man of war, a mighty man of God. And they knew it. That's why they didn't want him around. They expelled him. Mm-hmm. Well, then now they need a mighty man of God. So where did he go?
Yeah.
Tob? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know where that's at. You got a map?
This guy's going to show us up. We got to get him out of here.
Yeah.
And now we need them, like you're saying.
That's it. And Jepheth said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me and expel me out of your father's house? Why are you coming to me now when you're in distress? Things got bad. Now you want me back.
Mm-hmm.
And the elders of Gilead said unto Jepheth, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon. Be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Jepheth said unto the elders of Gilead, if ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head. And the elders of Gilead said unto Jepheth, the Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. So, bring me back. If we win, I'm head over you. Okay? And no more of this throwing me out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be the head. And Jepheth went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jepheth uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpeth. And Jepheth sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, what hast thou to do with me, that thou art come against me to fight in my land? And the king of the children of Ammon answered unto the messengers of Jepheth, because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt, from Arnon even unto Jabbok, and unto Jordan. Now therefore restore those lands again peacefully. King of Ammon got it wrong. Mm-hmm. Israel didn't take it away. God took it away. Because God had had a covenant with you guys years and years ago. And you transgressed. That's what he said. These people, I'm working with them. But they haven't transgressed enough for me to throw them out. That's why the Israelites were in Egypt for 400 years. Waiting on God to decide that these people had crossed the line enough to throw them off the property. And Jephthah sent messengers again unto the king of children of Ammon, and said unto them, Thus saith Jephthah, Israel took not away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. But when Israel came up from Egypt, and walked through the wilderness unto the Red Sea, and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, Let me, I pray thee, pass through thy land. But the king of Edom would not hearken thereunto. So, in like manner, they sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent. And Israel abode in Kadesh. Then they went along through the wilderness and compassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab, and came by the east side of the land of Moab, and pitched on the other side of Arnon, but came not within the border of Moab, for Arnon was the border of Moab. And Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, the king of Heshbon. Israel said unto him, Let us pass, we pray thee, through thy land unto my place. But Sihon trusted not Israel to pass through his coast. But Sihon gathered all his people together and pitched in Jahaz and fought against Israel. The Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all of his people into the hand of Israel, and they smote them. So Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country. You notice something here about this fellow, Jephthah? He knows their history.
Yeah.
He's a man of God.
Yep.
The rest of them haven't. They don't. The last generation forgot to teach these, but this one retained it. God is always has a retainer. He always has someone waiting in the shadows that knows why he is who he is and why he follows the God that he does.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.